Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, Chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. We welcome you. We thank you that you're joining us. There's going to be many other people joining us tonight as we go forward, and we look to an exciting night. We have a guest speaker tonight. We're going to introduce him a little bit later. But before I pray, we're going to do what we love so much. John's got a new sound of a shofar, and we're going to blow the shofar, and then I'm going to pray. So, John. Father, we just want to come right now in the name of Yeshua. We come to seek your face, to hear your voice, to give you glory. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you for all that we have in our opportunities to find you. You said, seek you well while you may be found. And Lord, we know that we can find you. Once again, I just rejoice in your presence. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would join us, that you would come with your anointing on every person that's involved tonight, those that will come in on the recording later, those that will play the recording at home, in their churches, as we have one group out of Pennsylvania that joins us. And as we seek you and seek your face, that you would pour your Spirit out with such a presence and such an anointing that it will be obvious that you've been here, that your presence is here, that your glory is upon us. For we come before thee right now in the name of Yeshua, and we bind, blind, make the deaf dumb, mute every power, principality, and ruler within us that will try to interfere with what we're doing on this call this night. We ask, Lord God, that your precious blood would cover each and every one of us. We cancel the assignment of the enemy, and we stand on all that it says in your word, and particularly in Revelation 12:11. And they overcome, they conquered him, the enemy, by the means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. Well, Lord, we choose this night that our testimony is your word, your way, and your will, and you shed your blood that we would have righteousness in you, that we could be redeemed, delivered, sanctified, and set aside. So we come thanking you, blessing you, exalting you, in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. I want to talk just a little bit tonight. This is the month, the biblical month of Shabbat. As we take before, we honor this month. We all have our regular calendars, but we honor the Hebrew calendar. And you're going to catch one of the sayings that I have is that we have Hebrew roots with native fruits, and we actually have one of our First Nation pastoral leaders on tonight that's going to join us, so we're going to talk about some of these things. I want to give you just a real quick overview of the month, and Matt's going to join us and talk about what God's doing and how he's just interacting. Shabbat, it's the 11th month of our calendar. It dates all the way back to 3761 B.C., to the times of creation of the world. It's the lunar calendar. We have 354 days adjusted for the solar year by leap year, every 13th month, 29 days of every third year. So it's the month of righteousness. God says this is the month of righteousness, that it should become your foundation. And the word literally, the spelling of Shabbat, it literally means the righteous one. So it represents are seeking after God and finding the righteous one this month. It's the new year, it's the new beginning. And the tribe that was represented was the tribe of Asher. And they were the tribe of the rear guard. That was absolutely one of the most important positions because the rear guard protected against the attacks of the enemy. It's always been standard practice that the enemy would attack from the rear, particularly after you've been triumphant in something. The enemy would come at your rear, and you needed to have a rear guard. And the Word of God says that he is our rear guard. So in this situation, Asher became the guard of the tribe's rear due to the fact that the enemy would attack, thinking that they would have a stronger position because of the weakness of those that had passed by. Most everybody puts their children and women in the back. But then God told Moses, you take Asher and put them behind. And they became the guard. It's the month of trees. It begins spring in Israel. They're about a month and a half climate-wise ahead of us. So this is the time when trees would blossom. They're starting to blossom and bloom. The olive trees, the fruit trees, and it means that the harvest is getting ready to be on the way. And we're getting ready to go into a season of harvest that's unprecedented. God is saying throughout the prophets and apostles around the world that this is going to be one of the greatest harvest times, seed time and harvest, that has ever been seen. It's up to us to see how we're going to benefit from the harvest. We've got to plant, and then we get to harvest. So God is saying it is a season. Now, for Asher, unfortunately, they took the time of new beginnings and prosperity and compromised it many, many times. They fell from God's grace, but they had something that they did right. They were quick to repent. And they found God's mercy, that it would be restored, and they would be restored as a tribe and a people. Now, Deborah rebuked Asher for its failures in Judges 5:17. You can find this. But they repented, and they were restored. When Gideon needed an army, he called upon Asher. When King David needed help, they sent 40,000 men. That's in 1 Chronicles 7:40. So God is saying this is the season to rejoice and feast in the Lord and see what he's doing. So this month, it's supposed to be a time, not a fasting, but a feasting, to see what God's doing. And we do that by pressing into him. Let our roots go deep, just as a tree root goes deep, and go into him, into the Word of God, that we would find that which God is doing. And in that, we would overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So this is the month when God is saying, you shout that the blessings are on the way. This is my blessing. This is the month that my blessings are on the way. The scriptures that we start with, the month actually began last week. It is after our call, so it's a time of shifting here. But it's the beginning, it's the time of beginnings. In Genesis 1:1-3, it's the beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we go all through Scripture. John 8:12, talking about Jesus, says that he was the light. He was the light. In Genesis 1:4-5, God said the light was good, and he divided light and darkness. In Genesis 1:26, he says that God made him and made us in his image. And that image was to be a blessing to man. It says we overcome by that blood, and that blood is brought forth by the light. Because we, as we receive the light of God's word and promise, then we get to break through. Now, God might have made us out of dust, and we're going to go back to dust, but he breathed life into us. He breathed his life and made us a living soul. And he's saying, this is your season, this is your time, you press into me, and you shall see and know and understand as never before. I'm going to pour my spirit out, and in that, my glory is going to come. So this is our time. This is our season. It's springtime in Israel. It's also supposed to be the time of breaking forth for us. So Jesus said it over and over again. Peace I'm going to give with you. Just as my Father gives me peace, even I give you. And he breathed upon them life. And that life was the Holy Ghost, and we're supposed to bring life and light everywhere we go. So as we press on, as we go into this season and this year, recognize who Christ is, the Son of Glory, the King of Kings, and that as we press into him, we are going to see a greater light and revelation as we've never seen. It's going to be this season. Watch, and literally cameras are going to record it in the streets around the world. United States, Egypt, Russia, Asia, North Korea. North Korea is going to become one. It's been prophesied over and over again. Egypt is going to shift. Israel is shifting. You're going to have to wait and see what God is doing, but you can see it in advance. You can know and recognize what he's doing, and through that, you'll be able to press in and receive the blessings and the promise so you can say, this is my season of promise. God is saying that he's going to perfect many, many people as he shakes the world this month. It's starting this month. We've already seen it as we went through 17, but now it's going into a greater level, a greater degree. So as we go into this year, you're going to have to keep a few things in mind. He's wanting you to give, and I'm not, you know, we don't receive any tithe or offerings here. I'm not talking about that. But give of yourself. Let your light shine in people's lives. Bring about transformation in people. Honor your father and mother. These are very just simple things, but these things have been taught over and over again the last 3 weeks. Honor your father and mother. He says you're going to have to honor your family because this is going to be the season of family. And in that, he's saying, don't judge. There's going to be an awful lot of shaking. And he literally, we talked about it last week, Gene sent me the work that we actually used from Randy. Oh, goodness, Gene, who was it from? Oh, that's terrible. The pastor, you sent the work out. John and I, you and I quoted it, and I sent it to you, John. I didn't want to give his name wrong.
Was
Robert, not Randy. Robert Clancy. Robert Clancy's okay. Word. And it was confirmed by Nigel Johnston out of Australia. Pastors are going to fall dead in the pulpit. They're going to be people that God is going to judge because of their backbiting and talking and murmuring and complaining and bringing about judgment. They judge when we're not supposed to judge. We're just going to judge yourself. Get yourself right. God's saying, judge not, lest you be judged this season. This is a very big thing for this season. And probably one of the most important things that we've been seeing over this past 2 months is there's a new sound. There's a new sound, and he wants us to praise him like never before because that which is getting ready to take place. So as we go forward, as we press in to this month, the month of Shavuot, and as we see and hear what God is doing, press in, praise, give thanks, don't judge, because you're going to see people fall, and you're going to go, oh, my God, what sin did they do? Don't worry about their sin. Worry about your own. God is saying, this is the time, this is the season where he's cleaning things up. And there's going to be, it's going to hurt when we see some people drop to the side. Just recognize that he is going to be doing this. Don't judge anybody else. Take care of you and yours. He's saying this is a season of family. This is a season of new beginnings. This is a season of harvest. And he's going to bring about the greatest harvest that we've ever seen. Matt Frazier's got a very good word about what God's doing in the hand of God, and I've asked him to come in, and we're keeping it a little short on my side, you see, this time, and Matt's doing the same, because we want Pastor Ron to join us and bring a word. So, Matt Frazier.
Thanks, Wade. You know, one of the things that really God has put on my heart is for us to step into a new level of authority. And I'm just going to springboard off what I did last week in Exodus 17, where Moses said to Joshua to choose some of his men and go out and fight the Amalekites. And tomorrow he would stand on the top of the hill. And, of course, we know he had the staff of God in his hands. And as long as he held it up, the battle went well. When the hands fell, they didn't. That's when Moses had some help from Aaron and Hur. They held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, and his hands remained steady till sunset. So the battle was won. And as I read that passage, you know, many, many times, as I'm sure all of us have, I always pictured Moses like Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, standing there with his raising his hands and parting the Red Sea. But as I read it again, the Lord highlighted something different to me, which was the hands. And I thought about Moses on that hill, and I thought, well, it would only take one hand to lift his staff, and then he could release it and hold it with the other hand. But that's not what Yahweh told him to do. He gave him very specific instructions. Much like the Rock of Horeb, Moses needed to follow the instructions as directed by Yahweh, and the result was identical. Just as Yahweh said, I will stand before you there on the Rock of Horeb. That's exactly what happened. And there on the top of that hill was the union between God and man. Heaven and earth were connected. As long as Moses was in the proper alignment, there was an overshadowing of the battle, and the victory was won. I think it's an awesome message for us. But I think there's something really unique about what God is doing. And when you look at what God did there, you know, there was a great victory. And Moses built an altar there, and he called it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. So on one hand, we have total obedience and submission to the will of the Lord, raising the hand, raising the staff of the government, and then you have the enemy doing the exact opposite. And I think many of us have had issues where we've been in both places. You know, we've wanted to battle, we've grown tired, we've grown weary, but yet the Lord in this season is calling us something even greater than we have done in the past. And I think Moses is a great example of that. And there's something very significant about raising that hand. You know, if we go back and we look in Leviticus and some in the Torah, there's always a prominence to the right side of the body. It says it's proper that the right side of the body should be given honor and preferential treatment. The Talmud gives a lot of instructions about dressing, about putting the right sleeve on first, or putting your right sock on first, or putting your right foot in, washing of the hands and prayers and meals. And the mezuzah, which is on the right side of the doorway, which has the Shema in it, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God is one." And even when you read that, you're supposed to cover your hand, your eye with your right hand. There's something about the right hand, which I'm not advocating the legalistic lifestyle, but you have to appreciate the zeal, and what the Lord was communicating to the Israelites was an alignment. It was a way to properly align yourself with the will of the Lord. Exodus 15 talks about the Lord. It says, "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy." In Exodus, he stretched out his right hand and the earth swallowed them. Even in creation, in Isaiah 48, we read, "My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I called to them, they stand forth together." There's something about the Lord and his rightly divine way of ordering things. And I think it's critical for us. I never really got into this alignment as much as I'm starting to realize how much it is that the Lord gives a specific pathway that we need to walk on. Yeshua asked Peter this, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him?" Even King David, and Jesus quoted this as well, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put my enemies under your feet." There is just an alignment the Lord wants us to get into, because the victory is there. The victory is in front of us, and it's going to take us to be in the right alignment to do it. You know, Yahweh, in this time, he taught the Israelites basically order. He gave them everything in that law, and everything else that we see was a way to stay in a perfect will and in the perfect season of the way he moved. As we know, Jesus made the ultimate way for us to enter in now. But it's still interesting. In Jonah 4, you read Yahweh speaking. He says, "Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Again, he's talking about they're not understanding the order, the divine order and nature of our Creator. And as I looked further into this, I saw some interesting things. I took a little scripture of Psalms 89:13, and I just looked at it for a minute from a Hebrew perspective. The scripture reads like this: "You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, high your right hand." There's certain words in there that I just want to take just a couple minutes to look at, which is the first one is high. It's the most high name of the Lord. And underneath of that is a word called Bama, which means high places, places of worship, as first on hills and mountains. And there was cities, and there was ancient worship of Israel that was conducted on these high places. And in the times of Samuel and David, they ascended to them. It is something that has been throughout all of our culture, through all of our history, have always been the high places. And the Lord's calling us to that. If you look at the definition a little further, it says a mountain, the mountain of the Lord, high places, battlefields. There's places of worship, places where we go to get closer spiritually to the Lord. And when I read that battlefield, I thought, wow, that just ties in perfectly with that scripture. And the Lord wanted to bring him into a place of authority. The right hand, Yamin, means, it means right, and it means stronger, more dexterous. It represents the stronger of our two hands. And there's a lot of things I could go into. I'll just touch on a couple. Genesis 48 talks about Joseph blessing Ephraim's head. And Ephraim, it was a problem there that Joseph didn't want because he wanted him to bless the other son, so he moved his hand. But it was all about the blessing of the firstborn. The right hand was used for blessing. You know, God knew that of us, and it's just like when Yeshua came, he said that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That right hand, that blessing comes from that. And Gideon, he used it when he went out to battle and they smashed the jars and the trumpets. He said, grasping the torches in their left hand, holding in their right hand the trumpets. They were to blow and they shouted. There was an announcement coming. There was, just like the shofar, it was used to bring about the plans and purposes and announce the glory of the Lord about to be unleashed on the earth. In Jeremiah, it talks about a signet ring being placed on the right hand, which means authority and kingship. And, you know, again, it signifies something about the divine order of things. In Exodus 15, we see that, again, he stretched out his right hand to bring about deliverance from the enemy. It goes on to talk about strong as your hand, and we know that the battles, there was always a sense of the, you know, all the old Ammonites and all the other, these were giants in the land. They were strong and they were powerful, yet the Lord overcame each one of them because of who he is. And the last part of it is you have a mighty arm, which means that you are strong, you are valiant, and you are mighty. And as I started to plug in all these things, and for lack of time, I did a ton of research on this, but I came up with that scripture, and I read it like this: with your right hand of authority from Zion the Most High, your right hand releases blessing, revelation, and your will with power, you bring deliverance, healing, crushing the enemy, and administering justice and judgment. With your mighty arm outstretched, you rule and reign over all. Now, to me, that reads a little better than the other one. And it gives you a totally different perspective. When I started to look at that, I thought about, you know, the whole concept of Moses being on the hill. And I thought, you know, we have that same God. We have Yahweh. We have the Spirit. We have Yeshua, who made a way for us to have those hands, to have that power, to have just him flow through us. When you look at the word hand in Hebrew, it's the word yod or yud. It's yod or yud. It's the 10th letter, and it's very common, and it's just almost like a comma, and it's in all of the words. You know, in the Christian picture of it, we see the hand of God. It speaks of that upraised hand and authority. In Exodus, you know, when we see the Lord with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets. We know the tablets of stone were inscribed by the finger. And when we see Belshazzar in the hand of God and Daniel, we know that the finger appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall and frightened him and wrote a message to him. Even in Revelation, when John had the vision, he saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne with the scroll writing on both sides. There's something about the majesty of the Lord and us being in alignment. Even speaks of character. You know, the Yod appears as the first letter of many people and persons that are in, that have lived on this earth and are in the scriptures. Even Yahweh himself begins with Yod He Vav He, and Jacob, Yod Ein Kwab Beth. I mean, each one begins with Yod. Joseph, Yod Va Samach Fe. I mean, there is something about that position being first and putting ourselves in it that is awesome. It just allows the Lord to release his great power in and through us. And I think this season, more than any, is for us to get into that place of authority, to come up higher, to get on that bomb of ground, that high place, and allow the Lord to work with each one of us. If we stay down in the valley, we'll suffer with the battle. But if we rise up higher with him, the victory will be much easier and smoother for each one of us. If you take your right hand and you look at it, it just seems like another part of your body, but not to a Hebrew. It was something much more that God trained them. It was a tool. It was something to praise Yahweh with. It was something to be able to generate money. It was used in a much different capacity than I think we do. We always talk about raising our hands in worship, and it's an awesome thing. It's an opening. But yet, the whole idea of blessing, the whole idea of overshadowing, and the things that the Lord can do through us, I think is amazing. And as I looked at that, I just closed my eyes, and I started to think about the things that the Lord has done through me. And then I started to think about some of the people on this call. I thought about Jean Hertler and how the Lord used her, who brought revelation. And as she was led, she used those hands to scribe. She used those hands to start to work on the computer, to just allow those words and those thoughts to come through and manifest and produce these wonderful books that just bring us back to the point of the foundation. I think about Monty on that farm in the wee hours of the morning when he heads out. It's freezing cold out there. But yet, as he starts to go out into that farm and takes those hands, he's bringing life. He's sustaining life. He's doing things that are producing life. And, you know, each one of us in our own way, we're being used in that capacity. And as we connect and we ascend into that higher place, I just think it's an awesome thing to think about, our body as that temple and an extension of the divine nature of the Father's heart just being released through each one of us. And it just struck me this week as I thought about the Yod. The Yod is a picture of an open hand, and it's praising the Lord. It's receiving. And the Yod is a closed hand, which means it's a function of power and a function of protection and grasping something. And that's just my prayer for each one of us, that we would just, as it says in Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would just give us a spirit of revelation and knowledge of having him, having our eyes open and lightened to what it is that he's going to have each one of us step into this season, to know the hope and the calling, and to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in each one of us. So thank you, Father, and we praise you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I've asked John to do our introductions tonight. We're going to close out, but we're going to bring some meat tonight from our guest speaker. So I'm going to turn it over to John Rockwell.
Well, thank you, Wade. I'll keep my introduction brief and let most of the time go to Pastor Ron Harvey. I met him when we were in Wisconsin, and when I went to the Gathering of the Nations there in Wisconsin, Gene and David Hurtwell invited me to go to that, and I thought it was important to go. And about the second or third night, I can't remember exactly what it was, when President Geiger showed up, Ron and his mentor were there, and they blessed President Geiger and the Republic as a whole. And immediately, I felt there was a connection with Pastor Ron and myself when we had met and we spoke briefly. It was mainly focused on President Geiger, which was cool. But that's my first contact with him, and I'm going to let him tell the rest of the story. Pastor Ron, I'm going to give you the floor.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody. It's good to be on the radio tonight with Pastor John and Mr. Wade and the rest of the people that came on. Really good teaching there. This shofar sounded. Amen. I was blessed by that. Powerful, powerful moves of God that are happening. You know, when we were up in Green Bay, that was a really powerful, powerful move of God up in Green Bay area. And when I met these gentlemen that came, and they blessed me, because I really never knew that there was a government besides, you know, the ones that we know. I began to learn quickly. Read up on some things and begin to learn quickly that God is involved in this, and that God is doing something very powerful in the midst of us, and he's taken us to the next level of things that are going to happen. And so but tonight I wanted to speak a little bit about and John mentioned this too also, that how kind of this vision came about, and then, you know, just taking a little time to explain a little bit. But I am blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Praise God. And the Lord is doing powerful, powerful things right in the midst of us, and God is doing a good work. And the word of the Lord says in John 14 or John 15 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Amen? Hallelujah. "And that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I commend you, that you love one another." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Amen. That's powerful. That's you know, people, I hear people say, "Oh, I chose God. I found God." No, in my weak state, in my state of being a sinner, God came down, reached down and touched my heart and gave my life to God. And that was, my goodness, 36 years ago right now. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, you know, the Lord's done tremendous good works since then. And this vision, you know, people talk about vision. People say, oh, I had a vision. I had a dream. God spoke to me. All the years, all of my saved life, from 1982 to 2002, I never had a vision, never had a dream, you know. I didn't have anything, I didn't have a voice speak to me. So I just thought that that was something that people say. But, you know, we were on the East Coast. We were in Newport News, and we were actually there to visit with some of the chiefs in that area. And one of the chiefs was Chief Ann Richardson. And she came and she invited us to her cultural center. And it was a fairly new built cultural center. And she said, you guys, can you pray over this cultural center? So just me, Tida, Pastor Jerry, Tom, and Chief Ann Richardson, her sister, and a few more other people were standing, and we formed a circle, held hands, and prayed. And to my amazement, standing there, I saw the United States of America, and I saw three stars. And man, I opened my eyes, and I'm freaked out because I've never had a vision before in my life. But here I am, now standing right in the middle of a prayer, offering up, and a vision comes down. And so, you know, I'm freaked out because I've never seen anything like that. And this vision was, only way I could describe it is a movie screen came down in my mind's eye. And I saw the United States of America and the three stars. And the Navajo Nation star, one of the stars was right here in Arizona. Navajo Nation star took off, collided with the middle star, got big, and that took off. And it collided with the eastern star right where we were up in that area. And the moment it hit the eastern star, light shot all across America, every home, every village, every town, every city. I mean, just it went everywhere. And then it went up Canada, Alaska, all up in that area. And then it went south all the way down almost to the tip of South America. When it got to South America, the light shot back supersonic speed and went back to the East Coast, and that light just shot upward, just spiraled upward. And I'm looking at this, I'm looking at what's happening, I'm looking at what's taking place before my eyes, and I'm shaking because I'm not really sure what was, you know, all this was about, what was happening, what was taking place. I was, you know, just freaked out. But you know, I quickly told everybody that was there. I told people, you know, we prayed on it, and we just prayed on the whole thing. And we come back and, you know, I'm asking the Lord, what was that all about, Lord? What did you show me? I don't understand why why did I see what I see, what I saw? And, you know, that year, 2002, 2003 came, 2004, and, you know, to the point where I'm asking God, I said, Lord, if you're not going to show me or you're not going to tell me what these things are, and why show me, you know, why show me? Because I don't understand. I don't understand what all this is about. And you know, seeking. Because once God shows you something inside you, man, inside you, it doesn't stop. You're in a hot pursuit. You're wanting you're wanting an answer. What was that about? What does that mean? What did the star mean? What happened here? And so that was kind of what was going on in my life. And then 2005 came along, and our pastor was asked to go back to Newport News. A Messianic group called and said that we'd like for you to do a Shabbat. Really didn't really understand what the Shabbat was back then. But we went anyway. We went across America and went to Newport News, Virginia. And Pastor Jerry Tom, we were in this facility and Messianic congregation, 300-400 people in that place. And the shofar sounded, and the service began, and my powerful move of God. Pastor Jerry Tom preached a powerful message, and after he preached, we began to pray for people. And power of God came down in that Messianic Jewish congregation. People fell, people were everywhere, some were laughing, some were crying, some were laid out, and some were just, I mean, it looked like it was a mess. And after an hour and a half of praying for people, Rabbi Eric says, come into my office, this is the real reason why I brought you here. And he pulled out a shofar. And he said, just got back from Israel, and the rabbis there come together, and they gave me this shofar. And this shofar must go to a Native American preacher from the West. And so, and we were called, and the shofar was given to us, and I tried to blow that shofar, and it was difficult to blow in at the first time. And so while we were there, Chief Ann Richardson said, well, you guys are here, why don't we just do like a 3-night revival at my cultural center? So that was like 80 miles away, and we said, okay, that sounds good. And so we go 80 miles back to Goose Indian, I think that was what it was called, on the Powhatan Nation, Chief Ann Richardson's Cultural Center. And she sets up the revival. And for three nights, no, hardly any tribal people came. But who came? Well, all the Messianic Jewish people that came from Warsaw, from Richmond, from Yorktown. I mean, the whole place, the building was filled with Messianic Jews, 3 nights. Power of God moved and touched. And miracles were happening, and God was touching their lives. And pastors, many pastors had come. And for 3 nights, God was moving on the Powhatan Nation with a Jewish, Messianic Jewish congregation. They were experiencing the glory and the power of God like they have never experienced before. And this was coming through Native people, Navajo pastors, as we were preaching. And so we took Chief Andrew Richardson and said, Ron, why don't you blow the shofar over our land? So she took us up on a high hillside overlooking the Rappahannock River. And I blew that shofar, and Rabbi Eric says, three blasts means the king is coming. Amen? Hallelujah. The king is coming. And so I blast three blasts and came out perfect. And the last blast, I blasted, an eagle swoops down 30 feet in the air and just hovered there for about 15 seconds and just looking at us and hovered on us, and it screamed out and flew out to the west. And man, what a confirmation that was. And it was powerful, powerful. And we go back to the cultural center and we pray. Almost, I stood almost in the same place as I stood in 2002, 3 years have gone by. And I stood there, I closed my eyes, the vision came back. Wow, the vision came back. And again, I'm looking at the United States of America. And three stars, the Navajo Nation star took off, collided with the middle star, it got big. Then I hear a voice. And that voice said, these are not stars as you say they are, but these are the seal of the line of Judah. Wow, the line of Judah. And he says, because blood cries from the ground, I am now turned my face to the host people of the land. And I will use them and I will empower them and I will anoint them to speak. And I will anoint them in the last move. And by this time, I am shaking under the power of God because God is showing me something now. And I hear this voice, and God has opened something in me. And I'm double freaked out right now because I'm listening to a voice and looking at something that God was showing me. And my goodness, the Lord has just moved upon my life. And from there we came back. And we blew the shofar on Navajo land in Window Rock, Arizona, which is the capital of the Navajo Nation. And that's where we blew the shofar. And Pastor Tom was standing there, and he had a vision. He said there was a clear tornado that came out of the shofar and went east. And in the shofar were angels and chariots of fire coming down and depositing themselves on the Navajo Nation. And the Lord said, these chariots and angels are coming from Jerusalem and is tied with the shofar and now is deposited on Navajo Nation. And I'm telling you how God was moving. From that point on, lots of things began to happen. Miracle signs and wonders begin to happen. Gold came down in our church. I mean, all over my daughter's face and hair and all over the place. And people, gold were coming into people's mouths, literally. I mean, diabetes were being healed. Cancers were being destroyed. We raised the girl that was dead 20 minutes into her death. Pastor Jerry Tom, we were on the phone with the mother. They were in the hospital. She died of cirrhosis of the liver. Mother was crying. Pastor Jerry Tom just shouted out to, and said, Suzanne, this is not your time to die. You shall live. The moment he said that, the thing started beeping. They flew her to Phoenix. They said she was going to be a vegetable because no oxygen in the brain. But from the moment she woke up, she said, I am hungry. Amen. Hallelujah. She walked out of that hospital 7 days after she died. Today, my goodness, she is alive. She's well. It's powerful. Everything began to happen. Amen. Things begin to move. And then 2013, 12, God began to move on my wife, Taita, and God began to move for 1 month in October, 1 month, November, 1 month in November, God visited my wife, and God says, gather my people, gather the people, gather the host people, gather the name of the nation, and for one month, and it was so tremendously, I mean, God was moving on tight end, like, how are we going to do this? We don't even know anybody. We don't even know any presidents or chiefs or anybody. We're just right here, Window Rock, Arizona. We don't even know our president who just lives up the road, you know, 2 miles up the road. We didn't know him. How are we going to do this? Where's the money going to come from? How are we going to gather all these people? We had lots of questions. But you know what? God, amen. He says, Hayden, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so when God chooses you, my goodness, things will begin to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's what happened. And the last ending of the month, she just declared, she says, we're going to have something called the Gathering of Tribal Nations. And thus, Gathering of Tribal Nations, GTN, was born. And God began to move. And Harvest Time Network Ministry, which is our ministry, was born. And God began to gather. We had the first one with Judy Jacobs. 1,000 chairs was set up in an 80 by 120 tent. 1,000 chairs, 1,000 people came out every night. Unheard of, especially on a Native nation. 1,000 people. When Judy Jacobs came on July 13th, that evening, God just filled the tent. I mean, this is on YouTube. God just filled the tent, and a powerful move of God. And six things she spoke of, and those six things happened. Amen. Hallelujah. And 14, 15, now this is our seventh year. Amen. Hallelujah. And now this year, April 6, 7, and 8, April 7th, the Gathering of Tribal Nation is going to happen in Azusa Street, downtown Los Angeles. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And, you know, just great moves of God. Amen. In Window Rock, Arizona, Seminole, Oklahoma, Green Bay. Amen. Back to Window Rock. And now we're going to be in Azusa this April. Hallelujah. So we're just inviting all the tribes, everybody that's listening in, everybody, everyone is invited. Amen. Because we're going to declare. We're going to decree from that place which God moved 100 years ago. Hallelujah. We're going to declare and decree over the land and over the people that the doors will be opened. God will move in a powerful, powerful way. Amen. This is a calling that God has given us. And this is God. You know, God is doing something spectacular and moving in a very powerful, powerful way. And so this is what's happening. Amen. Hallelujah. And in 2015, and this is amazing, and all these years, you know, I thought, okay, so how, Lord, give me another vision. Do I have to travel all the way back to Chief Ann Richardson's Cultural Center and stand in that Cultural Center to give me another vision? No, he gave me another vision right in Window Rock, Arizona, in our office, 2015. Again, I'm looking at the United States of America. Again, I'm looking at the three seals now. These are not stars, but these are seals. And I'm looking at it, and again, the Navajo Nation star takes out, collides in the middle. The star gets big and bright. But this time, it didn't move to the east. That big star, out from that big star, popped a little one, and it just sat right above the big star, right above a little one was a little star. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, did it get birth? What happened? And it just sat there. And all of a sudden, like, you know, like these laser pointers, all of a sudden the laser pointers started coming from all over North America and South America. I mean, millions and millions of these pointers were now targeting this little ball. And that ball just got bright. It didn't get big. It just got really bright. And I'm looking at this thing right in the middle of the country. Out of the ground comes a Native man. Out of the ground comes a Native man. His apparel is all white buckskin and adorned with all kinds of shells and turquoise and onyxes and opals and all. I mean, he's just absolutely magnificent. He's gray peppered hair with one eagle feather, golden eagle feather coming down, and he's facing east. And just like that, he turns and begins to dance. And it wasn't a Native dance. No, it was like a Native and Jewish dance together. The man got into a happy dance, and he turned 180 degrees. I mean, he was just dancing away, just laughing. He was happy. Just joy and unspeakable joy just filled his face as he danced all the way around. And he stood, and he took his right hand, and he went from east to west. He drew a line in the land. He drew a line. And all of a sudden, right above that little star was a word. It was a word. And I remember how it etched out just a little sweetly. And I quickly, right after God showed me this, the people that were standing around me, the pastors that were standing around me from Albuquerque, New Mexico, we just started praising God and worshiping, because we knew God was doing something powerful. But right after that, I came back and drew that particular word. It was a Jewish word. It was a Hebrew word that was on top of that little, the Indian man, and then the head. And then right up, it was gold. I mean, it was just gold, and it was glowing, and it was bright. And I wrote that down. And I went to the computer, and I couldn't find it. I could only find a certain word like Vara, and which meant Father or God. And so I called up one of the sisters. She's a genealogist, and she's an archaeologist, worked in Israel for 30 years, lived in Michigan. I said, what does this mean? And she said, Ron, give me a few moments. A day or two, but when she called back, she was excited. She says, Ron, this is not modern Hebrew language. It's paleo. It's ancient. It's ancient word. And that word is I am that I am. I am God. I am the Father. I am. And all, I mean, wow. It was, my God. He is. I am. I am. And so the visions, these are the visions that God had given. This is what drives us. This is what drives Gathering a Tribal Nation. And every place we went, God has visited. God has moved on people's lives. And government, grand chiefs are coming down. And Azusa. Azusa, we have many people from Canada that are coming down. Many of them are coming. And Grand Chief David Harper is coming. Some of the chiefs are coming from Manitoba, Saskatchewan, from Alberta. They're coming. People are coming from far away as New York and Green Bay and Oklahoma, Arkansas. I mean, people are coming from every direction because God is getting ready to do something very, very powerful. Amen. Very, very powerful. And so, you know, the Lord is doing something. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is doing something. And in the midst of us, in the midst of us. And so this is our drive, Pastor John. This is our drive because when the Lord shows you something, it's going to happen. And we are the ones, we have to uproot. We are the ones that have to do something. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Walk in faith. I'm telling you, I know how to walk in faith. Amen. Praise God. I have many stories. Amen. Praise God. About walking faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says, until now you have not asked me anything. In my name, ask and you will receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. God will give it to you. God will give it to you. Once you walk, start walking in the path of God, once you start walking in the will of God, those things will come. Amen. Money will come. Finances will come. Provision will come. Those things will come. But if we stay put and do nothing, well, that's in the land of do nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. But God's getting ready to do something very, very powerful. So, John, you were talking about a vision. That's what that vision is about. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what that vision
Amen.
Was about. And so, you know, the Lord is opening many things, many avenues, many things in our ministry and lives. And you know, through this, I met President Geiger. and he came and, you know, he spent time with us right here in Little Rock. Just this past August, he spent like maybe 3-4 days with us, sat in our office. We laughed and talked, and my goodness, I enjoyed his company. Amen. Praise God. And I know God is doing something very, very powerful. In our nation, amen, in our country, this land that God has given us, the native voice has authority to speak to the land, amen. If the land is sick, we have to heal the land. If the land is sick, then the people is sick. And so, praise God, well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to declare, praise God. And God could get ready to do something. God's getting ready to do something from Baton Rouge, praise God, from that point, you know, the Mississippi River, God's getting ready to do something powerful in that place also. Amen. Praise God. God is showing us. God is moving. God is doing something. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're just driven by it, Pastor John. And I'm just glad to show to share with you this vision, and we're on Facebook Live too. So also, amen. All those people that are on Facebook, we welcome you, and we welcome you to Azusa this coming April. Amen. Praise God. So God is doing very, very something very, very powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Pastor Ron, you want to offer up a prayer before we kind of switch gears a bit here?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll pray, and I'm just pleased tonight that I'm on the radio, and all the listeners that are listening in, I bless you. God will move for you and open doors, and God will open some things. You're searching. That's good. You're searching. Amen. Hallelujah. Search him out. Amen. Praise God. Because he's right there. God will open those doors for you. And I'm glad this evening that I was offered a time. Thank you for allowing some time for me to speak a little bit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just thank you. We give you all the praise, and Lord, we give you all the glory tonight. Lord, we thank you for what's happening all across our native land, all across America, Canada, Alaska, South America. Lord, we thank you, Father God, Lord, because you're doing something very powerful. Father, Lord, that you begin to move, Father God, in spirit. Lord, we declare right now, Father God, and Lord, your word will travel to every listener, Father God, Lord, for this word to be pushed and moved, Father God, in the spiritual realm right now, Father. We declare healing, Lord God. We move in the spirit, Father. Move upon every need tonight, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord, that you touch this radio, God. Lord, that many more listeners will join. Father God, Lord, that it will be effective, Father, Lord, right now, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you just begin to move upon the host of the radio shows. And Lord, move upon their ministries and move upon them, Lord God. Give them direction, Father God. Move upon them, Lord. We destroy every work of the enemy, Lord God. I destroy the powers of darkness that is coming against us. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, every assignment that is assigned to them, we destroy, Father. Lord, we throw a spiritual bomb in the midst of them, Lord, that they be scattered. Lord, Father God, Lord, that I pray, God, that you begin to move upon each listener and everyone, Father God, Lord, that is listening, Lord, even tonight, Father God. Lord, that you do a mighty work, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing right now, Father. Lord, for everything that's happening, God, Lord, because it's in your will, Father. Lord, it's you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, Lord, for ministries, for rising up, Lord. And we thank you for what's going to happen in Azusa, Father. We declare it right now, Lord. We give you praise. And Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You know, glory. Pastor Ron, this is Chaplain Wade. I want to share something with you. Even though I had read the vision, when you speak the vision, the anointing comes. It's like the spoken word. The anointing comes and breaks the yoke of bondage. And the word welled up within me this night. And I want to speak back over you and stay on, please, for the finish of the call. John's got some things, and I'll share a little bit more. But the vision that God has given you will be this year like fire. And it's going to be like fire in the bones of those that have gone before you. It's going to rise up. Several years ago, I saw in a vision God raising up men, women, and children of all nations, all tribes, all tongues out of the ground and suiting them up. And we were meeting right there where Gloria Zion was meeting. It's where two Interstate 35s come together. And separate north, east and west Texas, and they join right there. And I saw this vision, and I saw a cloud of darkness coming to roll across the land from the east. And God spoke in our minds, and we released arrows, and we released spears, darts, and we spoke and sang as the Lord gave us utterance in our minds. And you brought that vision back to me, and the Spirit spoke in me a moment ago and stirred within me that the vision you saw is a true vision, and it'll come forth, and it'll shake off the rags, the death rags, the grave shroud that has been upon the people that are living, but they're dead. And all the failure of the First Nations people, all the defeat and the hardness of their hearts and feeling of inadequacy and disappointments and lack of hope. God is going to, this year, through that which he's given you, he's restoring vision. He's restoring hope. He's giving back life. And in that life, he's going to make a way where there's been no way. And he's going to bring about you, as has been prophesied over the nations, that they will bring the revival into the land of this nation, and that we will come beside you in every way that we can and that we will be lifting you up and undergirding you, and much, in many cases, we'll be joining you. For God is moving in such a way that the cloud of darkness, the powers of darkness that are coming, will not be able to penetrate that which he's given to you, because God's saying to the First Nations that just like with Israel, the dry bones are going to be shaken, and he's putting back on the flesh. And in that flesh, they just like Matthew said earlier, that the right hand of God shall be raised up, and the glory of God shall be seen round about. And I believe Azusa Street is going to be one of the most important meetings in the history of the body of Christ in modern times. And I speak and declare and decree that God will move in such a way that as you get up and speak and as the others get up and speak, that lightning shall fall and signs and wonders, just as it fell on those tents that you've been in. And the dead shall rise, the blind shall see, the lame shall walk, and the glory of God shall shine round about. Ooh, glory, glory, glory. Wow.
Wow. I receive that in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. John Rockwell, praise will you take it, sir? And before, Ron, yes. I do have one other request. I'm going to ask that you pray one more time at the end. And now you prayed an incredible prayer. We have a Governor Mason on the line who's going into cancer surgery next week. You might know from our conversations, I suffered a stroke 18 weeks ago. God raised me up when they said most everybody dies from this stroke, but God. And he's told me that I shall be healed and be restored, if you'll agree with me on that one also. But I'm going to ask specifically to pray for Tim Mason, and I'm sure there's others that are going to need some prayer. If you will hang on for a little bit and join us in prayer, we'd greatly appreciate it that your anointing would break forth. I turn it over now to John Rockwell.
Cool. I'm going to cut my piece short because I'm like you, Wade. I feel the need to pray, not for only for Governor Mason. That's important. But I think there needs to be other prayer as well offered up tonight. So the thing that's going to tie in what has been said tonight that I got, I talked to Matt briefly about it and just kind of spurred me on and have some scriptures as well. But there was a gentleman in Australia that died. I don't know the dates or anything like that, but when he died, he was at the gates of hell, and his name is Alec. He recounts this, that he was at the gates of hell, but it wasn't hell. He was outside looking in, is the best way I can describe it. Everything appeared to him in two dimensions, and it was like he was watching TV. Then he heard a voice say, "Jesus, I know you, but you, I don't." But at his right hand, another voice came, and, "I am the Lord God. I am going to heal you and make you new." Alec recognized that Jesus was speaking to him, and he could read Alec's thoughts. Jesus presence provided light for Alec to see. Others couldn't see him or hear him. Then the Lord impressed on his heart, "I will do what I want to bring your healing, and I will show you the power of the Holy Spirit." Then, being astonished, Alec turned around and he saw a sea full of people. He recounts, "I couldn't see their faces. They were joined together in chains." Jesus impressed on his heart, these people called themselves Christians, but they could not forgive their brothers and sisters. Jesus mentioned to Alec to pray, and the attention, he wanted him to pay attention to the parable of the unforgiving servant, and instructed him about the meaning. "I was taking all this in. He only allows me to remember what he wants me to remember, and I can't add anything that he didn't say." During the near-death experience at the gates of hell, Alec says Jesus also told him a worldwide revival is coming that is greater than Azusa Street, which is the one in the 1900s, or the Welsh revival. "There is not going to be anything that's been like it in the past," Jesus told him. "It's not just people getting saved," Alec added. "It's the bride being made perfect without spot or blemish. And I want you to think hard on that, because that's exactly what we're working on here with this call. The Lord communicated to him, what the world deems insignificant is what I am going to use in the revival. And the scripture that comes to my mind when he was talking about his vision is Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if I forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. And as I was going through the prayer calendar that Wade sent out today, yesterday's verse struck me because this is very powerful. It's out of Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before the angels. And that just, to me, speaks volumes to what we're doing now and what things are going to happen. And I think the future really looks bright, and with all the stuff that's going to be going on. So that's where I'm going to leave things tonight, and I'll go ahead and toss it back to you, Wade.
Thank you, sir. If you could see me, you'd be sitting back laughing, John. I had to stand up because my leg was cramping, but I'm jumping up, down, shaking like crazy. White Francis looking at me. I had myself muted, but I was shaking like a wet dog because the Holy Spirit was all over me. just the glory of God has filled this office tonight. And I'm jealous for it. I don't want to let him go. I don't want that presence to leave us. Pastor Ron, I know you're an apostle to God, and God has me an apostle in this position here, that we've started works that God is going to use, and we need to continue to keep in touch and tie together and have you more often to come and join us, if you will. Your prayers were so powerful. Would you lift up Governor Mason, and if the Lord put you on your heart for me also. Governor Mason is going into surgery on the 13th. Their concern is that it won't affect any other area as they take cancer out of a kidney. We're standing and believing for a total restoration, that there would be no malignancy at all as this goes forward, and God will move mightily. But if you would join us, and then I'm going to call on some other people for prayer also to pray over you. If you would pray
Amen.
For Tim Mason.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I am that I am. As Moses stood before the burning bush, I am. That same I am is right here, right now. And his hand is not short. His hand is able to reach Governor Mason. He is the creator. He is the one who created us wonderfully, powerfully, and fearfully as he made us. We will speak these words, and these words will travel in spirit, and will begin to move, and every cancer in Governor Mason's kidney will be destroyed. I've seen it happen. Amen.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Cancer just fell off of people's lives. I've seen it with my eyes. God can do powerful things. Impossible things to us, yeah. But God can do powerful things even over your life. Praise God. Pastor Wade, God's going to touch you, make you absolute whole again. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so tonight, Father God, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you begin to move, Father God. First of all, upon my brother Wade, Lord, that you begin to touch him, Father. Lord, I come against the powers of darkness that has come against his life.
You foul, unclean spirit, you lying devil, I bind you up and cast you out in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we declare tonight that my brother will be healed completely. Every nerve in his body right now, Father God, that is affected, Lord, Father God, will be made whole 100% in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. Lord, that you touch him, Lord God. Move upon him, Father. Lord, what you have said and, Lord, what you have given him shall come to its completion, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, tonight we pray for Governor, Father God, Mason, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, Father God. Lord, that you touch his life. Lord, that you move upon him. Lord, right now I command that cancer to die in the name of Jesus. Shrivel up right now. We cast you out in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, right now we declare Governor Mason heal in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord, for you are the creator. My God, that you're able to move, but that you're able to move mountains, Lord God. Lord, you said, speak to the mountain, and this mountain shall fall and to the sea, Lord God. And Lord, tonight we speak to this mountain. We command this cancer right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let it die, let it die, let it die now, Father God. Lord, let it shrivel to nothing, Father God. Lord, for your glory, Lord God, raise them up right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you touch, Lord, our lives, Lord God, right now, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for everyone that is listening, Lord. Lord, touch them right now. Touch them, Lord God. Move in these airwaves. Move in these videos, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, you are healed. In Jesus' name, amen. In Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
We lift you up, Lord. We lift you up, Lord. We lift you up. Amen. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify your name, God, Lord. Done. It is done.
Ron, I'm going to ask, I know we're pushing it, but I'm going to ask you to pray for one other person. There's many on this call that need healing, and then I'm going to have several people pray over you. As I've prophesied over you, I'm going to have them pray and prophesy. Matt, you're one of them. Gene, you're the other one, so you be prepared. Ask God to give you a word. One of my dearest friends in life, and I have I've been blessed to work with him and his beautiful wife. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Together, he's done far more than I ever have, but we've helped build 19 group homes in the state of Texas for special needs children.
Sure.
Linda's one of the most beautiful women I've ever known, physically and personally. She suffered more than most people I know. She's in continual pain. She's had a major portion of her back wrapped with metal, her hips replaced. She has degenerative bone disease. She takes more meds than probably everybody combined on this call, just to be able to function. I pray for them regularly. I'd ask that you would lift up Linda Newsom, their hearts. Are enormous. And they love, true love. And they've helped so many. And they need help now. And I've prayed and prayed, but the anointing upon you right now is so strong. If you'd lift up Linda Newsom, it would greatly honor us.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For the Lord is doing something powerful even now. Hallelujah. The Lord is moving in our lives right now. Hallelujah, Lord God, right now, Lord God. Lord, we pray for Linda right now, Lord. Linda Houston, Lord God, touch. Father God, Lord, we destroy the powers of the enemy, Lord God. Father God, that you touch her back, Lord. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you know everything that has happened, Father. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we declare, Lord, we take authority. We take authority, Lord, in the name of the Lord right now. I speak to her body, and I command healing right now. I command every pain to loose her in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. Father God, Lord, that this word will travel, Lord God. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, begin to move, Father. Lord, heal right now in the name of Jesus. Touch her right now in Jesus' mighty name, God. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord, begin to move on the affected areas of her body. Father God, Lord, realign back, Father God. Lord, realign, Father God, Lord, all the nervous systems in her back, Father. Lord, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, God, I pray, Lord, the work of the enemy shall be destroyed right now in Jesus' mighty name, God. Lord, heal now. You speak now. Lord, the now word, today, right now, this moment, this minute, heal in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, Lord. We give you honor because you're doing something right now. You're doing something right now in Jesus' mighty name. You're working a powerful miracle in her life, Lord, and in Governor Mason's life, and in Brother Wade's life, Brother John's life right now, Father. Their families are touched. Destroy that unclean spirit that's trying to distract them now, Father. Let it be done, Father. It's done. It's done. It's done. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh. Gene, do you have a prayer and a word for Pastor Ron?
Feel the power. I feel the power. I feel the anointing. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel that anointing right now. God's doing something. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, Jehovah God, just praise you, Father. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for this new day. I thank you, my Father, for what you're doing in this nation. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this world. I thank you for your word. I just praise you, Jesus, Yeshua. I just praise you. I praise you that you are the Word of God, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I praise you that your word is true. I praise you that you had a plan from the beginning of the ages. I thank you, Lord, that you have created each one of us by special design from your heart before the foundations of this world. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you knew that evil would enter this world, but that you, in your loving kindness, because you are love, that you had a plan that has crossed the ages, and your word which is eternal. I thank you that your word is being fulfilled. Thank you, Father, that we are the generation that gets to see the glory of the Lord and the fulfillment of your word and the fulfillment of your prophetic plan. I thank you, Lord God, for Pastor Ron and for his beautiful bride, Tida. I thank you, Father, that it gives you great pleasure to see your son and your daughter rise up and rise up from the nations and the authority on this land, that you have a plan, and by your spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, that your spirit rises up in them, that it resonates in them and bears witness in their spirits that you are God, you are the creator, that you have a plan, that it was spoken long ago, that they are part of that fulfillment, that they have I am within them, and that they rise up and that they speak it forth. I heard the word wind as Pastor Ron was praying, and something about running on the wind. And as we see tumults and issues on this land with earthquakes and fires, and maybe for a little while yet, that I see him like running across the wind, that these things are of no issue to him, that he has the supernatural power, he's an overcomer, even glorified body in the spirit. There is nothing in the natural that will impede this man, the son of God, or his wife, a daughter of God. I thank you, Father, for this couple. I thank you for their ministry. I thank you for Pastor Jerry Tom. I thank you for the ministry of the host people, of your sons and your daughters, who are original tribal people. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful to your promise to Father Abraham. I thank you, Father, that you are fulfilling the covenant that you made with Abraham, and then the covenant that you made with Isaac, and then the covenant that you made with Jacob Israel, and to their seed. I thank you, Father, that there is nothing that can impede the transcending of your covenant, that you keep covenant to the everlasting and to the evergreen. And I thank you, Father, that you are a covenant-keeping God, and that we get to see the manifestation of the promise of the covenant, the manifestation of the promise of your spirit, and the coming of the king. I thank you, Father, that this man has a shofar and is calling the king back in the prophetic time, in the fulfillment of the time. But until that time, there are other things to be fulfilled in the promises. And I thank you, Lord, by the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua, that is across this man and his wife, his bride and his ministry, for this time, in this age, on this prophetic timeline, and that we are now in the minute of time, not just the hour, but in the minute of time for great awakening. I thank you, Lord, that the blood that is spilled across this land, that it calls out to you and that you are answering, that as this man has blown the shofar, the sun, and as he is called to you, that his voice mixes with the blood in the land, and it cries out to you, and that your angels catch the voices and the prayers, and that it is made incense on your altar, and there is fire on your altar, and it is being thrown to the earth to be fulfilled in this minute. Not even just the hour, but in this minute. We give you all praise, all honor, all glory. And we are excited in you, Father. We are excited that you are excited in your children, that you are happy to fulfill your promises to our fathers, our forefathers, and that it is this hour, this minute, that the bones of Ezekiel 37, that they are coming together and the tribes are coming together, and that they are coming alive for the whole house of Israel, and that the two sticks, the stick of Judah for his kindred of Israel, and the stick of Joseph for Ephraim, and for the whole house of Israel, that those sticks are in your hand, Father, that they come together. No longer will there be any division among the nations, but the nations belong to the Lord, and the nations are being called together to the Lord to come to see the glory of the Lord. And we proclaim it right now, and we decree this right now, and we stand together with the Son of God, Ron Harvey, and his wife, Tida, and their pastor, Pastor Jerry Tom, to fulfill the mission of the Lord according to the word of God. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Matthew.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yes, you know, as I was listening to the testimony, the Lord was just all over, the Spirit was just all over me, and I was seeing the sound. It all started back in 2005. This sound that was released and the healing and the miracles were just the beginning. And as this keeps unfolding, Pastor Ron, I just see this vision that you have now, and the Lord was just showing me as you are heading to the west, just as the fires have been blazing in the west, when you show up at Azusa Street and you take your shofar, there's going to be a sound released that's going to go from west to east, just as you saw the vision dancing in the middle and he drew a line from east to west. There will be a fire released, and there's going to be just chariots just igniting all the way across this country, and Spirit is going to fill this nation. And Lord, we just pray for that release right now. We thank you for what you're doing and unfolding this continuing plan of revelation, Lord. As we heard this testimony, how powerful you are. Your right hand is over this man, this ministry, and we just pray for the continued power, Lord, of you to just ignite this country and the Native American people and all nations come together as one, united, Lord, through you, through your Spirit of love. Just pour out your revelation and your heart as these events take place, especially in Azusa Street. Lord, we are just calling for that fresh fire to be released, for that spirit of your wind to just blow mightily through this nation, Lord. It is time, Lord. You have shown us many, many things, many signs, Lord. And I just pray now for the continued spirit to be upon Pastor Ron and Pastor Tom as they go forth, Lord, and they minister and they stand in the highest place, Lord. Where they stand, it is your kingdom coming to earth and being released, Lord. So we just honor you above all. And we honor Pastor Ron and for this ministry, Lord, to just continue to grow and to just pour out just mighty things upon this country and upon this nation of people, many who are still confused, that are in darkness and have doubts, Lord, that you would just wipe those away by this fresh move of your fire across this country, Lord. Lord, we just want to come in agreement with all the visions and everything that was shared this evening, Lord, and we just come in agreement for what you're about to do, and we thank you and praise you. Lord, we would just honor you with our lives, with our spirits, and we want to be one in you. Lord, we just lift it all up. Yeshua, in your precious, precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. John, is there anything you'd like to say before I do a close prayer?
Glory.
Glory.
Woo. That says it.
Amen.
Father, we just want to thank you for this night. Lord, we've heard from the apostle and the prophet and the pastor and the teacher. We've heard from the intercessors. Lord God, we've heard your voice this night. We've heard a vision and got to participate. We agree with the witnesses of this night, with the testimony. We agree with the blood that you shed. we receive the finished work of the cross and the dunamis power of Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Yeshua, by the blood, the cross, and the dunamis power, that it would go forth into every life, into every tomb, grave area of our lives where the enemy is hidden, where he's dug down deep and we don't even know it, in our bloodlines, in our ancestral curses, iniquities, and break off and bring about a healing and a deliverance and a salvation. Bring about a revival and the power that you give, that we would be able to stand in this time, in this season, in this end time move, Lord God, that we would be a part of it, and we would position ourselves in the blessings of thy covenant promises, that we could be conduits of your kingdom purpose and your way and will as we walk out our destinies for these end time seasons. Clothe us, Lord God, with the mantle of your power to bring about the resurrection of your word, your way, your will, that we would receive and be a part of and pass on your glory. We thank you for this night. We thank you for all that spoke. We thank you for the opportunity just to be here. We bless you. We worship you and we adore you. And we thank you in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. We've got multiple guests tonight that have come on. We have them on Facebook. We have them on the call. We always have people call in and download the recording later. Ron, I think I told you, we even have one church that takes it and plays it on Wednesday nights.
I forgot to mention one thing. Our website, you can visit our website. It's Gathering of Tribal Nations, nations with an S, .com. So that's Gathering of Tribal Nations .com. So you can go on and click. And again, we want to invite you, everyone that's listening, and everyone that's on Facebook right now. It's going to be April 6th, 7th, and 8th. Given the 7th is going to be given to us, Gathering of Tribal Nation. We're hosting Gathering of Tribal Nation downtown Los Angeles. And we just invite everyone to come. Let's come declare and let's believe God for our country. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much for joining us. Well, like I said earlier, we do want you to come and join us again on a regular basis. Give us updates and let us participate in any way we can. If you go to this website, I'm sure there's a way that if you God moves upon your heart and you want to donate, I'm sure there's a way to give in to that ministry. Once again, I want to thank everybody. We will make available his name, address, and phone numbers. If whatever he wants published, we'll have it on our site as soon as possible also. With that, I want to say goodnight to everybody. I'm turning off.